Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? That's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! Baseball season started? It is Dukes and Bell with Chris, our man, Turtle. He is filling in today for Carl Dukes, and we got some things to dive into. We'll cover the NFL. He's got strong opinions on what we should be doing at that 8 pick. I say trade down. Chris says, don't do it. So we'll stick around on that, but we start the show. Orin, jump on this. Let's make it a trio. Oh, that's right, the mic shot. With a big hearty, hey man. They're working on that. Orin, I can hear him, but you can't hear him. But he's with us, too, behind the glass.
He will be communicating in sign language.
Today. Right on. The baseball season started. Now, the dog, I don't know, he had to go out. So all of a sudden, he's like scratching at the door in the bedroom this morning. So I wake up early, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And then, I think the Dodgers have got great team cup. I'm like, oh, no!
Oh, your boy.
It's a nightmare.
Your boy.
The most annoying voice on ESPN baseball. Yeah, the baseball season started today, but it's then they go back to spring training, and I don't know. I'm an old school guy. I get the international flavor, and the Asian market is huge, and Asian players are such a big part of MLB, Chris, but it was kind of weird. Two in Seoul, the Seoul series, and then back to spring training, and then the season begins.
Yeah, here's the thing. Opening day, Mike, back in my day, used to mean something,
right.
Darn it.
Right.
I mean, no, but in all seriousness, if you want to make a spectacle out of the start of the MLB season, I'm fine with doing a Seoul series, but how about make it make sense? Do it during a time period of the season when you can actually focus on baseball and not have it be a 6 o'clock in the morning thing that nobody even knows about.
Exactly. So, yeah, I was kind of like lost in a shuffle on that one. I believe the Dodgers won.
5-2. Otani did get a couple of hits, no home runs.
Nope.
And Chan Ho Park throughout the ceremonial first pitch.
And it's funny, you know, we talk so much about, Travis Kelce and, you see his girlfriend Taylor Swift on every other shot. They must have shot, they had pictures of his, and there's the reaction. So he got married in the offseason, so they had
regular wife, I think, was the
described
quote
as just
used.
A regular Japanese wife. I'm like, wow, I mean, what is that? Does that mean she's walking 2 feet behind you and the feet are all tied up like Shogun? What does that even
understand.
Mean? She played baseball, too. She's an athlete. I thought.
I mean, good for him, but just...
Basketball. An athlete. She's an athlete.
The way he announced that was so bizarre.
It's like my ordinary wife. I don't know any wife anywhere in the world that wants to be described as ordinary. But anyway, there's your baseball part until we get to the Braves a little bit later in the program. But Falcons, and we're going to continue the conversation today. I think Myles Garrett does a really good job. Fox 5
I always like some of the stuff he puts on social media as well, so he'll give us his take on the Falcons offseason. But we had the conversation yesterday. Brian McFadden, if you missed it, it was great. We talked about the draft. We talked even about ACC and what's going on with FSU and Clemson. And then he had a great story about his relationship in the locker room with guys like Troy Polamalu. So it was just a really great hour. But he likes the idea of trading back. I do too. But to do that, Chris, you got to have somebody who's going to be trading up. I don't know. The Vikings might be trading ahead of us at 8. So maybe that's not even an option.
To me, Mike, it's not even an option, period.
You don't want to do
it. No, because I think you have the ability to draft a generational pass rusher. Mm. And what has every Falcons fan been complaining about for 15 years?
I know, me.
You know, Mike, you know what the thing is with this one? Don't get too cute. Don't overthink it. Take Jared Verse or take Dallas Turner, whoever's there, or whoever you think is the best guy, and you go run to that, to the hill, to the mountaintops, and you shout that we finally got our guy. You plug him in on one side for the next 10 years, and you let it ride. Because if you choose to trade back, A, they could both be taken, or B, you could pick the wrong one, which I get you could do anyway at 8. But if you decide to take Jared Verse and then he goes to somewhere else, he goes to the Patriots or he goes to the Vikings who have a couple more picks, and he puts up a 10-sack season in year one, you are going to be kicking yourself forever.
No, you know me, man. I've always wanted the edge rush, and it's funny. I saw the Daniel Jeremiah because I was up this morning. They ran it at 6 o'clock this morning, NFL Network. They were doing their mock draft with Bucky Brooks, and they kind of go through the teams, and he was saying, yeah, he goes, every year I've got the Falcons taking edge rush, and every year they go offense.
Yeah, it's been, what, 3-4 years in a row now?
Right.
How can you justify with the need of edge, Mike? Also, the next thing we need to break down into this is the caveat of the cap.
Yep. I mean, that's another part of it. I'm with you. Get an edge rusher and hopefully you hit. I'd like to know and think that Ebukadi is going to continue to progress, but I think he's just going to be a guy. You know, if I don't know. I mean, Grady Jarrett, you knew even in his first year as a fifth-round pick, this guy had the skills, you know, and you saw it. Some guys, you know, with Vic Beasley, he was, I want to say he had like five or six sacks his first year. He popped that second year, a byproduct of the nature of our team. We scored a lot of points. Teams couldn't, you know, run the football. They had to play catch-up. Dwight Freeney was a nice addition. We had some really good size in the interior of our 4-3. And he obviously reaped the benefits of that, 15 and a half sacks. But that's about it. You know, we don't have double-digit sack guys around here. And you know me, I rail on this almost every week. You know, Claude Humphrey, Patrick Kearney, Rod Coleman, you go back to the bomb squad guys. I mean, NFL Network is actually showing the NFC Championship from 98-99 right now against the Vikings.
A lot of that was before the turn of the century, yeah. Mike. It's been that long.
Literally. So that's getting back to Chris's point. Dallas Turner, Jared Verse. Carl's argument for him, you guys, if you listen to the show, he said, if he's better than Verse, why didn't he pop more at Alabama? I don't know. I mean, he's certainly the measurables. Some people have him an edge over Jared Verse. He's long and athletic. You know, I mean, maybe he was just doing what was asked of him in that system. I think it was what Steele was the coach that last year at Alabama.
Yeah.
So either way, that would be the play. You get Dallas Turner and you go to work and it's done. But if you feel that Joe Alt is a guy that's going to be a generational piece, everyone looks at him as a 10-year guy, plug and play like Lindstrom is. And then he could start from McGarry or, you know, whatever. And then you could be the heir apparent to Jake. But Trench is still, because you got Kirk Cousins on it. We got 3 years to get to the Super Bowl. I know guys want to laugh at it. Fine. That's what the philosophy is. And to do that, that cat's got to stay upright.
Yeah. And the thing is about the offensive line, Mike, I think you could still find value in the later rounds. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to find comparable value in the first round to a Jared Verse in the second or third round. I think there's two. Well, you got Latu and Chop Robinson, who I think are a half step below. Mm-hmm. But I think they'd be gone by the time the Falcons would be picking again. So I think you're looking at that third tier of edge rushers. And with the offensive line, Alt is basically, you know, your number one head and shoulders above. And then the next group is a step below, which you can find in the second and third round. Mm-hmm. And if you trust McGarry for one more season, in my opinion, the only position that you need to upgrade on the offensive line, like capital NEED, is center.
Right. And that's one that now we think, now, unless this new group feels that Dahlman can do the job, but there were some whispers that Dahlman maybe wasn't up to the task. You know, there was a lot of issues at times last year. It was either McGarry getting beat on roller skates from an elite edge rusher or sometimes up the middle. But I thought that, you know, Bergeron did a great job. You know, we never complained about him once last year. But it is edge rush. And to Turtle's point, I do agree with you. If you felt that, here's the thing, said this yesterday. Everybody's got their rankings, right? So we know Dallas Turner and Verse, they're perceived to be the two best. If the Falcons have a corner higher up on their white erase board, then it's going to be the corner. But I'm with Chris. Then you're in the same boat as we were 2 years ago when we drafted Ebiketie. He's a tier two edge rusher. He's not that tier one guy, right? Those guys are considered the best of the best of the best.
Sir.
So that's where you want to see him go. So I'm with you. But you still don't like the idea of trading down, even if we could trade down and get a Jared Verse and pick up maybe another second or a third?
No, because if you don't get it right, Mike, you are going to be sitting there kicking yourself in the butt for the next decade, because one of those two guys, or maybe both of them, are going to go somewhere, and they're going to become franchise cornerstone players on the edge. When was the last time the Falcons had a Cam Jordan, had a Brian Burns, a guy that you know is coming in every single year, Devin White? I just named guys in our own freaking division that were part of teams that were the anchors of the cornerstone of the defense. The Falcons have not had a guy play that position on the edge since the guys that you just named from the late 90s and the early 2000s. So don't be cute. Kiss it, Mike. Keep it simple, stupid.
I mean, listen to some of these numbers, guys. Here are your Falcon leaders in sacks. We know that last year it was 6.5. It was a tie with Bud Dupree.
And Calais.
Yep. And Calais did a nice job. 21, Dante Fowler, 4.5. Ugh. 2020, Debo, 4.5.
Ugh.
Vic Beasley in 19, 8. That was the year that if he had gotten to 10, I was going to have to get a tattoo of his face on my butt. Remember that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, you weren't here?
No. That was before my time.
Warren was here. Yeah, because we did the usual. I'm like, I said the guy doesn't have the heart. He's a bum. And I know that upsets people he went to high school with who live in the northern part of our listening area, but is what it is. He's out of football, right? But I said, if this cat gets 10, I will get a tattoo of his face. And at one point, he had like, instead of ramping up, and I was up in Pennsylvania.
And you were looking at guys?
I was visiting the in-laws, and I was talking to a bartender up at Buffalo Wild Wing in Chambersburg, PA. She goes, you know what you could do? You could make it kind of look like Bob Marley. You could have it altered later. And I was like, yes, it would be like a Vic Beasley, Bob Marley mashup, because I would not be opposed to having a Bob Marley tattoo. Luckily, it didn't come to fruition. 8 sacks. 2018, Tack McKinley, 7. 17, Adrian Claiborne, 9.5. Vic Beasley, that's the year we talked about, that unicorn year of 2016, 15.5. I mean, these are your leaders, guys. And when you hear numbers like 4.5, 7, it's an important position. That's why the most highest paid players are the quarterback and the guy who gets the quarterback on the ground.
Don't make it overcomplicated.
All right, so we'll continue the conversation. We'll also open it up for you guys on the phones and see what you want to talk about and get your vibe. Hey, man, headlines are coming up next. Hawks road trip does continue. And United, I mean, it's going to be one of those tough games because all the good guys are not available. We'll explain. It is Turtle in for Carl here on Dukes and Bell.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And you may find yourself working with Chris Thomas. He's in for Carl today. It's a Talking Heads song. You don't know this one?
Not familiar, no.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
What am I going to do?
I know the Dirty Heads, not the Talking Heads.
Oh, for crying out loud. The video, this is the old days MTV, too. Living in a shotgun shack. No?
No.
All right. They were art students. Where they go to Brown or something, or some design college in Rhode Island. Trippy. It was like New Wave in the 70s, early 80s.
Here's what I'm disappointed about. Over the last few months since Oren and I have been working together, I've been trying to prove to him my musical chops, and I've been doing a decent job. And right now, I just let him down.
Yeah. And Oren, for those who don't know, is a musicologist. He knows everything about every format. And yeah, Talking Heads. Not everybody's cup of vodka, but catchy video and tune. I weep for our future. Hey, man, Carl is off today. So yeah, Chris is in. We got tickets coming up next hour. The She Believes Cup presented by Visa over at the Benz. Tickets on sale at ussoccer.com. It's USA versus Japan. Canada takes on Brazil. So you want ticks, stay tuned, guys. It'll be coming up 3:20. Right now, though, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Headlines are brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live well. All right. The big news, I guess, for the Braves is that it's official. Yesterday, Spencer Strider is going to be your opening day starter. We did the math. He's had a great regular season record against the Phillies. He's, matter of fact, never lost to the Phillies in Philadelphia. So that makes perfect sense. Is it a big sea change for some Braves fans that Max Fried's not the opening day starter?
Well, here's the thing, Mike. I think people are reading way too much into this, as we do everything these days, because Max Fried will start at home for the first game for the Braves. So Which, honestly, is the bigger knot? Because I think, for me, I'd want to start at Truist.
Right, and he will against the Diamondbacks. That'll be next Friday, week of Friday.
So, to me, this is a big nothing burger.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back, now, when it was Smoltz and Glavin and Maddox, and, you know, of course, Tom was here first with John, and then Maddox was the opening day starter for many years, and it's kind of funny. You realize that Julio Teheran was the opening day starter six seasons in a row for the Braves?
My goodness.
Think about that.
Wow.
Yes. That's when we had the T-shirts that said, wait till Cobb, 2017, those last few years at Turner Field. But, it's the honor. In the old days, if you were a kid, it would have been Phil Niekro. It would be the best. And then later on, you know, as the team got better, the pitching got better. But it is the honor of supposedly being the best guy. Now, we don't know that Max Fried won't find a way to get a deal. But, you know, conventional wisdom and history with Alex Anthopoulos shows you you're not going to give Max Fried the deal he's going to get from somebody else, be it the Mets, Red Sox, Yankees, or Dodgers.
Yeah, and I think that's where people are reading way too much into this. I don't think you can tell whether or not they're going to give him an extension based on the fact that he's not starting opening day. Now,
Strider's just more dynamic right now.
Right.
He's the guy, and he is. And look, he has sort of eclipsed him as the ace. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, Fried, I always say Fried, like Glavin in 95. He's the guy that won you was on the bump for the World Series, but Strider is the number one.
Strider, I think, right now should be. If he's not, I don't have the betting lines right in front of me. A top three Cy Young favorite at this point. Right. I mean, it's got to be Ohtani's not pitching this year. So, you know, how many other guys are there that are better than him in Major League Baseball? I don't think it's any slight to Max Fried at all. He's going to be there in the number two slot the entire season if he stays healthy. And that's another thing, Mike. Fried has not exactly been an Iron Man the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, he's been banged up 8-1 last year in the games he was able to pitch. And if you guys don't follow, we talked about it a lot today or this week and last week, Carl and I, about how, you know, the way baseball works, you've got the right to basically control this dude in the case of Fried. They have arbitration every year, and then eventually he gets a chance to get the big contract. But it's not even close to the NFL. It's not even close to the NBA where that gets accelerated and guys get the big loot much earlier. But in the case of, Fried, you probably have to get it someplace else. 20 wins, 5 losses, you are the ace. And that's Spencer Strider, not to mention the fact you've got all the strikeouts.
Yeah, and it's a legitimate thing to think that he's going to eclipse 300 strikeouts this
season. That is funny, though, when you look back at the list of the guys like Julio Teheran. It's like, yeah, man. 2020, Mike Soroka. 21 was Fried. 22, Fried. 23, Fried. So you're breaking a 3-year run of Max.
Yeah, what's the old cliche that pain makes you stronger, Mike?
That's right. Let's go back to the lean time. I always like get a kick. Let's go back. 84, Len Barker. 85, Rick Mahler.
Rick Mahler.
Rick Mahler did it for 4 years. Zane Smith. Then things started to change. Tommy, Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz. Pretty cool. Even in the early 2000s, it was still, you know, you still had some dudes. I mean, Tim Hudson did it for a number of years.
That's right.
Derek Lowe did it for 3 years.
Derek Lowe.
Yeah.
I think of him as a Red Sox.
That's the Frank Wren years. Frank spent a lot of loot. That's the kind of like, I felt when Liberty took over, they kind of got scared away from giving the big money away, whether it's to pitchers, to anybody. And Alex has kind of masterfully found a way to get the younger guys the big contracts. Headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. We mentioned United in Toronto Saturday. 7:30 kick may get some funky weather, but one of those international breaks, nothing you can do. So we lose your ghost. We lose some of the best players.
There are, in my opinion, getting to be a frightening amount of these things happening during an average MLS season between international breaks and between all the now cup play that's going on, that it's basically a running gun to the end of the season to see who gets to keep most of their team. Right. I feel like that's becoming a huge factor in determining who becomes the MLS champion are teams that are able to collectively stay the course and have a lot of their guys throughout most of the season. When you lose Yorgos, when you lose Almada, I mean, Mike, you're at these games. What are you supposed to do? You just have to say next man up.
Right. Doug Roberson from the AJC says that Steen Gregersen, one of our new guys, is already injured in knee. So he's going to be out for a while. And we picked up somebody from the Liga MX, the Mexican League. You can get the details at AtlantaUnited.com. Daniel Rios on loan from Chivas. It's always fun to say those words.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the continuity because the continuity for this team in the flow of that offense, I don't know if you agree, Mike, but that's what makes them special.
Right.
And to not have that,
And that's where it's frustrating because you do have to go through these breaks in the course of the regular season. It happens in Europe as well, but it just not, but theirs are generally in the summer. Their international their competitions are always jam up our regular season.
We've only played three games.
Right, I know. Hey, the Braves, by the way, losing right now to Toronto 5-1. I saw Mark Bowman post earlier. Like, can't believe guys are freaking out about Kelnick. He's got more RBIs than Acuna right now. Acuna's like missed a bunch of games because they had to put him on ice.
Yeah, ha ha ha.
I like Mark. He does a great job, but some guys would be you're too close to it, man. Just call it what it is. Kelnick's having a crappy spring. Does it make you a mean person to say that Kelnick's having a bad spring?
No.
And we don't know the guy yet. We don't know what he's about.
They literally brought in somebody to play his position with him because he's playing so poorly.
Right.
Come on, just look at it for what it is.
Hey, the baseball season, as we started off the show, told you the Dodgers get a win against the Padres in Seoul, Korea. Shohei Ohtani with an RBI. It gets through the first baseman, Jake Cronenworth's glove. The webbing just kind of busts up.
A weird play.
You might want to work on tying those laces a little bit tighter there, pal.
Yeah.
And then finally, the conversation, and we'll get more of this in the NFL Blitz as far as are there any more moves to be made? Unless we start restructuring, guys, folks have been asking us about some of the pieces that are still out there. We talked with Bryant McFadden about Patrick Peterson, which would be a nice piece if we can't find, you know, another corner and we don't decide to draft one. But right now, we'd have to restructure some guys to create base. I know it's a moving target, but we don't seem to have a lot of cap space right now other than money for our draft class.
Right. And the guy that I keep hearing, seeing Falcons fans clamoring for because he's on the market is Hassan Reddick. And as he's great, but I just don't think you can afford him. I mean, you're going to have to restructure Jake or Grady or both or do something to make the math work, which I guess, hey, just trust in Terry. But at the same time, as good of a player as he would be, I think you're better off sticking with a pass rusher at number eight because I think you're going to be in a point now where you are bringing in vet minimum deals because you spent on a lot. You brought in three new receivers. You brought back two offensive linemen. And Kirk Cousins, it's going to cost.
Hey, we get more of those first four, the play-in, whatever you want to call it. Most people, you know, feel a certain way about it. A lot of folks feel Indiana State got hosed. St. John's is one of those schools. You know, I did a goofy, this is tongue-in-cheek, kids. I'm not actually telling you how to, you can knock yourself out and follow it. I put it up at Mike Bell ATL. It's up at 929thegame.com about how I use the animal kingdom if I don't know anything about the programs. And a lot of folks don't know much about these guys because we don't watch a lot of this. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Not watching college basketball like I used to. And guys of a certain age, I grew up with the Big East when it was unbelievable. And then when I moved here, it was so cool to see Coach Kremins and Georgia Tech. It's fun when you're viable. I think a part of it is, we said this last week, when local colleges aren't viable, there's just less interest, Chris, in the tournament, less interest in college basketball as a whole.
And speaking of the word that we just used, continuity, there's none of that anymore. What made it for me growing up in the 90s and the 2000s, watching UNC, Duke every single year was what really brought me into the game. I knew the entire roster of J.J. Redick and everyone else down.
Right.
Now, I can honestly probably not name 10 college basketball players.
I'm not going to lie to you. And you look at the lottery right now, I think two of the first three, there's the guard from Kentucky, but you got a lot of French or international players.
Yeah, the guy from France.
So we'll continue. Wagner beats Howard yesterday. Colorado State beats Virginia. Man.
Oof. Yikes.
Jeez. Tony Bennett, man. You know, you're the first one seed to ever lose to a 16, and you're an ACC school getting knocked out of the play-in. See, they're going to reevaluate. What does that mean?
I think that means, Coach, we thank you for your service.
I think that means you better pass the hat in Charlottesville and get your get more transfers coming your way to up the game.
Yeah, they're going to have to, let's use this Dabo phrase, modernize their
right
offense.
On. And we'll have more for you tonight, by the way, for College Hoops fans right here on 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, Chris Thomas in for Carl. This hour of the show, guys, is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Guys, go get that Man Cave, whether it's going to be for College Hoops or for football season. It's never too early to plan your Man Cave. Great location, right off 85. You can see him there. Or go to mancavestore.com. Up next, Myles Garrett, Fox 5. Give us his take on the moves the Falcons made.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Giving Chris a little Talking Heads 101 today, a little musical interlude on Dukes and Bell. Chris Thomas is in for Carl today, who we believe is on his way to Vegas. Didn't tell his partner, but one of my buddies is on the flight. He said, I saw Carl, so now I know. We will continue talking about the Falcons, more on what's going down in the world of college football as more lawsuits, more shenanigans, and more money getting split. It's all coming up. Right now, though, let's talk to Falcons with Myles Garrett. We see him up at the branch all the time, Fox 5 Sports anchor reporter, and he's a good follow on Twitter as well. He joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. What's going on, Myles? How you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good, Mike. Enjoying the day. How you guys doing?
Yeah, you know, stealing money, bro. You like the moves. I mean, I know you like the Kirk Cousins move, but tell the listeners.
Yeah, no, I think Terry Fontenot's been cooking so far. I mean, for lack of a better term, I think the big thing that he's done so far that is really good is I think he's created a team now to where there's no glaring need. Now, are there needs? Yes, of course. I think there's still the argument for pass rusher, of course. Maybe you could use another receiver and, you know, maybe a right tackle. But I think for the most part, and a cornerback as well, I think cornerback number two should be a priority too for this team with the absence of Jeff Okuda. But I do think that this team is pretty good given what the moves Terry Fontenot made in free agency. Now, there's still a lot to be considered for the draft, but I do think, you know, getting a starting caliber player in Rondale Moore for Desmond Ridder was huge. I didn't think you'd get a starting caliber player for Desmond just because of what we saw, what we thought the market might be for Desmond. I think that was a huge move for them. And obviously Darnell Mooney getting a number two wide receiver. I think that the overall size, I guess you could call it, for the types of receivers that this team has drastically shifted from what it was last year. I think with Arthur Smith, it was sort of that big body type receiver, the Mac Hollins, the Cordarrelle Pattersons of the world. I know he played a little running back joke or whatever you want to call it, but those were big dudes. Now you've got sort of those speedsters and Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore to kind of complement Drake London a little bit. So I think for the most part, these have been some pretty good moves Terry's made so far.
Myles, you mentioned the wide receiver room. Do you feel like they've done enough there in order to say that in the second round, third round, we don't have to get a receiver there, or should that still be a target?
I still think it should be a target, but I do think it will definitely bottle up to how comfortable is Raheem Morris and I guess specifically Zach Robinson feel with that room as is, because, you know, we've seen what Darnell Mooney did in Chicago. He had that one good season that's kind of suffered through some injuries here in the past. Do you trust him to be that number two wide receiver, or do you maybe take a chance on a guy like Ladd McConkey, perhaps, who could be right there for you in the second round? I think that would be an interesting selection for the Atlanta Falcons to really kind of shore up that wide receiver room. Do I think they'll address it in the draft? I do, just because of who they added. They added two guys. I think they'll add another. You're going to need some depth there with the formations they're going to run with Zach Robinson. You have Cordarrelle Hodge. Do you trust him to be a starter? You don't really know quite yet. He's made some plays for you, but I think you maybe ideally want one more sure-handed type guy in that room.
Myles Garrett's with us, guys, from Fox 5, talking about the Falcons. We spent a lot of time about edge rush, and do you feel that the edge rushers, Jared versus maybe it's Dallas Turner, are higher on the Falcons' board as far as the best football player than the corners? Because, I mean, we've always taken the best athlete, Myles, and I just can't believe we're going to go 4 years in a row without taking an edge rusher.
Yeah, and I think that that's been the main theme of what Terry Fontenot has drafted. You said it yourself, ever since he's been general manager of this team. He has taken, you know, you may look at it a different way, obviously, but I think for the most part, he's taken the guy that's been the best player type available that's on the board overall, whether that's obviously Bijan Robinson or running back. You know, in any other draft, he's probably a top five pick 20 years ago just because of the value of running backs. But as you said, at that point, at pick number eight, I think that the edge rushers will be the best available guys. Now, there's an argument that maybe a Malik Nabers, the Romeo Dunzis, you know, the receivers,
no!
those types of guys.
No!
I'm not saying they will. But those guys may be the quote-unquote best players available there. But outside of that, yes, I do think Dallas Turner, a guy like that, Luata Latu, probably another of those types, you know, those edge rushers who will probably start falling off the board there if a guy like Joe Alt, the offensive tackle, may not be off the board yet.
Now, Miles, another big need for this team is going to be in the secondary. Without a lot of cap space left, do you expect them to pursue one early in the draft, or could Terry Fontenot try to finagle something and make it happen with a free agent?
Yeah, at this point, it seems like it might be the draft route, but here's the question. Do you reach maybe for a guy at 8 at cornerback? I don't think so. I think the only way you take a cornerback is if maybe you trade down, which very well could be the scenario. Maybe a quarterback starts falling, a receiver that a team wants to grab, maybe wants to trade up to Atlanta. Maybe you get a guy like Tarion Arnold or Quinyvon Mitchell, who are kind of maybe those mid-first-round type guys, get some returns and maybe double down on receiver in the second if you get a couple picks there. So I think if cornerback is addressed, it will be in the draft just because of who's available right now. Because we know A.J. Terrell is your number one. Clark Phillips, I think, showed enough to warrant starting, but are you ready to trust him year two already to be that number two guy? I think he could be, but I don't think he's ready quite yet. I think you want to have a guy that's ready to go just in case, and you know it's worth taking a shot on a guy like that maybe in the first round if you trade back. I think taking a guy like Tarion Arnold maybe at 8 is a little bit of a reach. You know, you could maybe go local with Nate Wiggins, the Westlake grad, the Clemson guy, basically A.J. Terrell 2.0, maybe a little bit faster, but I don't think those guys are number 8 overall pick type guys.
And then, Miles, we were talking about this yesterday with Brian McFadden. How do you handle the A.J. Terrell contract?
Yeah, that's going to be the question, too, with A.J. Terrell. I mean, how are you – I mean, because, I mean, he's 2 years ago, A.J. Terrell, I think you could make an argument, was a top 3, top 5 cornerback in the NFL. I think the last couple seasons, specifically last year, I think maybe there was a little bit of regression. Now, he's still a true number one. I don't doubt that in and of the slightest. But I do think A.J. wants to be in Atlanta, and I think that is helping matters. I think they have similar agents with Kyle Pitts and Jesse Bates as well. I think that all helps matters here. But Terry Fontenot, I think, has done a good job navigating contracts. And, look, they're going to need a number one cornerback. And if they don't sign A.J. Terrell, they're going to have to go out and get a number one cornerback because that's one of the most important positions on the field on the defensive side. So if you don't get A.J. Terrell, you better get a number one very quickly because they don't come around very often.
Now, when it comes to the quarterback room, it sure looks like, Miles, that Taylor Heineke is going to be back. They picked up that $1.2 million option a couple of weeks ago or a couple of days ago. But beyond that, do you think it's prudent for the Falcons this season, with even with Kirk in play, to still look at maybe a sixth or seventh round QB?
I may not even think they wait that long for it. I've heard there's some chatter. There was a very large contingency to check out Spencer Rattler at South Carolina, who has been rising up draft boards. Maybe you take a shot on him in the fourth, fifth round type. Maybe, I doubt he goes earlier than that, but maybe a fourth round chance, because that's a guy that is sort of a prime type to sit behind Kirk Cousins, because he's not in any way ready, I think, to start games in the NFL right now, but he's got a lot of those tools. And look, I mean, Kirk's going to be 36 years old. They're going to have to start a plan to get the next guy rolling. Do you want to have him sit behind Kirk and maybe wait a couple years, or do you want to wait out to trade up to get a first round guy? That's going to be a big dilemma here, because when are you going to be picking in the top 10 again? Ideally, you're not hoping to do that anytime soon.
Right.
And it's looking that one of those top 4 quarterbacks won't land to you at pick number 8. So all of that being said, I do think they need to take a quarterback, because Taylor, I mean, how much longer are you going to pay him there to be your number 2? Like you said, it's looking like he's going to be there at least for this season, but you're going to want to have a young guy to have maybe a succession plan in place at some point for Kirk Cousins. And if they had a good contingency up there to South Carolina, who's to say Spencer Rattler may not be that guy?
Yeah, I just think, you know, the window is now. I just feel you want to replicate what you did in 16 and knock as many. I mean, we used to joke around about Arthur Blank. I need 3 starters, you nitwits, you know, from this draft class. I take a flyer on a guy like Jordan Travis in a lower round, because he's going to need some time to develop. I don't like that. I'm not sold on that Rattler thing. It is our man Miles Garrett, guys, from Fox 5. We're talking about the Falcons and the draft moves. There are clearly 2 tiers to the edge rushers. We talked about this to start the show. Do you feel that if they did go corner, or again, throw the monkey in the wrench and go wide receiver, Miles, that we will see Ebba Cady and Zach Harrison take that jump? Or, I mean, how do you see those guys? I mean, they need to take that jump. We need to see some production from the guys we've drafted the past few seasons.
Yeah, and I think we've sort of seen that a couple, with a few different players, of those guys sort of taking that second-year jump. I think we saw it a little bit at the beginning of last season before he got hurt with a guy like Troy Andersen. I think he was starting to take those second-year jumps. Arnold Ebiketti, we did a lot of film study at Fox 5, kind of watching him, our DJ Shockley, a lot of listeners may be familiar with him, kind of did some deep dives into what he was doing. I think he got really unlucky on a lot of plays. I think Arnold Ebiketti was right there a lot of times. But you're right, he does need to step up and create more pressures and more sacks because, as you know, as most fans know, that's a position that's just been haunting this team for almost decades now. You had that one season with Vic Beasley that kind of came out of nowhere, but the team really hasn't had a true pass rusher since the days of Patrick Kearney and John Abraham. So you're going to need to get a guy to step up, and whether that's, you know, David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett able to create more pressures for you on the inside for guys like, you know, Ebiketti, Andersen, Carter, and whoever that first-round pick might be, whether that is a Dallas Turner or a Latu, they're going to need to step up because the pressures are not going to work with what they've been having the last 5 years. So because of that, yeah, Arnold Ebiketti does need to take a step up, but I do think he's very, very close.
Going off of Mike's last point, Miles, how big of a drop-off do you think it is between Jared versus Dallas Turner and then another guy you mentioned, Latu, and the fourth guy, Chop Robinson? How big of a drop-off is there?
I think those top three are pretty close together. I think there is a little bit of a drop-off there at the fourth one because I think you're going to see Latu, Turner, versus all those guys go in the top 15, around that realm. I mean, maybe one of them drops to 20, but I don't think those guys are getting out of that range in the first round. I think they've proven enough. They've shown enough. Dallas Turner, Defensive Player of the Year in the SEC, you know, Latu creating the pressures. Like, yeah, maybe there's some injury questions with Latu, just coming back from what he did. But, you know, as Mike is very well aware, being the Florida State guy that he is, he's seen the havoc that Jared Verse can create out there. Right. And I think all three of those guys are game wreckers.
All right, man, last question for Miles Garrett from Fox 5. We got some pieces. One guy, you know, we forgot about, Troy Andersen, a linebacker core. They seem to like the job Caden Ellison. Is Nate Landman going to beat out his housemate for that linebacker job in this preseason?
Yeah, that'll be a fun development to watch. I think it's a good problem to have with their linebacking core. I think that has now turned into, oddly enough, one of their strongest rooms on the team because Caden Ellis has performed, or I guess exceeded, you could say, this past season expectations. We saw what Nate Landman did, getting the extension as well. And as I said earlier, Troy Andersen was really looking like he was taking a turn there at the beginning of the season before he did get hurt. He's right. Was every bit the player that Terry Fontenot was looking for, just that size and speed, kind of able to go from sideline to sideline. That's his game. And to have a guy like Lorenzo Carter there, kind of as maybe your fourth best guy, is, I think, a really good problem to have. And also, we keep forgetting about D'Angelo Malone as well. I think we're still waiting on him to maybe come out a little bit more than he has, but definitely a good depth piece and a guy that you could be watching to maybe make the team. Ideally, you'd like to see him do that because he was the trade piece for Matt Ryan. Eventually, that pick became D'Angelo Malone. So ideally, you'd love to see him take that next jump. But overall, I think the linebacking core is a very strong unit for this team, and competition is good. I hope to see Raheem Morris coach these guys up.
Oh, I lied. One more question. The center position. I don't know. Is Dahlman going to be the guy? They kept Nuzeal around. I mean, do we need to address that as well in this draft, or you think we got it okay in the middle?
To my knowledge, I think they're going to stick with Dahlman. I think they were happy with what he did this past year to kind of separate himself. Obviously, I think there was a competition for a little bit with Matt Hennessy there, but I do think he's firmly established now as a starter. Now, I do think the offensive line is basically shored up with Jake Matthews, Bergeron, Dahlman, and Lindstrom. I do think the question for if maybe you address the offensive line, whether that's the first round or later, is, like you said, center or maybe right tackle with Caleb McGarry, because McGarry, as we've seen, was a very good run blocker, which fit very well into Arthur Smith's scheme. But his pass protection, I think, maybe left some things to be desired for. Yeah. So is he going to be good and firm at that right tackle spot? Who knows? But I think those are the only two positions, center and right tackle, that may be still addressed.
Right. And Alt is still an option, too. Maybe they might like to, you know, beef up the O-line, and he would definitely be worth a top eight pick. All right, brother, we will talk to you between now and the draft. Thanks for coming on, Miles.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it, guys. Miles Garrett from Fox 5. We'll see him up at the branch, and we'll be talking to him throughout the season. Does a good job. And as he mentioned, Shock will be on with us, too, throughout the year. Hey, it's Chris in for Carl today. We got an NFL Blitz. In it, is it Maserati, Marvin Harrison, or is it Machiavelli, Marvin Harrison? We'll explain.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.